Rescue workers in Sri Lanka this weekend found a person alive in rubble from the tsunami 2 weeks ago that killed more than 150,000 people. The discovery was a rare welcome moment in the grim process of recovering more and more bodies and trying to provide food, clean water, shelter, and medical attention to survivors in a dozen countries in South and Southeast Asia. Millions of people who saw their homes and loved ones swept away are just beginning to cope with their great loss. NPR's Jason Bobian has spent the past 2 weeks in Sri Lanka. He, too, has been struggling to gain a perspective on the tragedy. He filed this report from the Sri Lankan capital of Colombo.
30,000 people here lost their lives 2 weeks ago in a matter of minutes. And that's just this country. And that doesn't count the thousands still missing. Disasters usually have a focal point. They strike in one particular place. As a journalist here in Sri Lanka, it's hard to comprehend that so many people across such a large swath of the globe lost so much so quickly.
Little babies, what am I not?
This is my bedroom. Look here, my bedroom. Everything is gone. Nothing to take anything.
My wife was dragged away. She was, at the time of that incident, she was at the pier. And she was dragged by this waves for about a kilometer.
Similar stories are recounted in town after town along Sri Lanka's coast. Villages completely destroyed, children crushed by the waves and the rubble, families splintered, survivors left, if they were lucky, with the clothes on their backs.
Yeah.
38-year-old Matkan Pulantharaja wasn't so lucky. The waves took his wife, his children, and the clothes he was wearing. When the churning water finally retreated, it dropped him alone in the world, naked on a beach.
He doesn't have any clothes, and clothes are given by the NGOs. NGOs give the clothes and everything. No?
Pulantharaja is in a simple hospital in northern Sri Lanka. It's been 10 days since the tsunamis hit. Most of the other injured have been treated or transferred somewhere else. There's only one other patient in the ward. Pulantharaja was at home with his family, almost a mile from the sea, when the waves came rushing in.
They were swept away by the waves, and luckily he held a tree. But others are very small, and ladies are not. They don't have a strength to stand these waves, no? So his wife and children and ladies all dead.
Pulantharaja is a thin man with a thin jet-black mustache. Both he and his wife used to work as civil servants. His feet were injured as he clung to a palm tree during the rush of water. There's no home to go back to. He has no wife, no children. He plans to return to his father's house in a town about 75 miles away. By returning to his father's house, he's rejoining a family he's grown away from over the years.
After you marry, then the relationship between the father and his family will be somewhat not closer. No? The attachment with his wife and children. No? Now he's going there again, and he thinks how to adjust himself with that family.
As Pulantharaja ponders how his life changed, public officials are still trying to understand the full extent of what and who was lost across Sri Lanka. At an orphanage in the northern city of Kilinochi, the staff are preparing for scores of new children, but they still don't know how many orphaned kids are in the refugee camps. Akila is one of the managers of the Kilinochi Children's Home. Now in the camps, she says, we don't know who are the tsunami orphans and who are not. When the people from the camps resettle, we will know who are the orphans. Officials are also trying to clean up the rubble of what were small tourist and fishing villages. As bulldozers and backhoes push through the debris of Mulativu on the northeast coast, former residents come to gaze at what's become of their hometown.
Because this was a well-to-do area with a lot of resources and the people are well off.
ஏன்னா குடும்பங்கள் எல்லாம் செத்து அழிஞ்சி ரெண்டாம் போறது இனி உள்ள ஜனத்துக்கு அந்த மாதிரி
he's fed up with everything in life and he thinks that to any human this no one can tolerate these things like that.
I talk with my friends and relative in camp, refugee camp. They don't like to come here. They don't know how what to do.
And all around the coastline of this country, people don't know what to do. Many in the camps are terrified to go back to their villages out of fear that they'll find their relatives' decomposing bodies. In the town of Hambantota, on the southern tip of Sri Lanka, the smell of rotting corpses almost dropped me to my knees. And these were not the bodies of my parents, my children, or my neighbors. As my reporting trip here draws to a close, I'm struck that surviving Sri Lankans refuse to play the role of victims. Fields of debris still litter town after town, but stores are reopening. Yes, I still see the bodies in my mind, but I also see the groups of teenagers who appeared on the south coast to help people dig out from the disaster. And I'll always remember one woman who'd lost her sister and three nephews to the waves. She stood in the middle of a pile of roofing tiles and timbers that used to be her house. She said it had taken her 4 years to build this house, and it took the waves only 10 minutes to knock it down. She was collecting pieces of wood from the rubble because she's planning to start rebuilding. Immediately. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Colombo, Sri Lanka.